A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment: love one another as I have loved you. So you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good evening, everyone. When I was younger, I remember hearing a gospel passage like this. I'm not sure if it was this exact gospel, but I always thought, how is it possible that I'm called to love everyone? Because there were certainly kids in my school who I didn't like at all. And I thought, well, if I don't like them, how can I possibly love them, you know? And I think that confusion came about because I didn't really understand what Jesus was asking of me when he said, "Love one another as I've loved you," because I thought if you love somebody, it means you want to spend every waking hour with them. You know, you want to have coffee with them every day, and you want to spend time with them, and you enjoy their company, and you can't think clearly when you're not with that other person. And so I said, how is that possible? I don't even like this person. Well, I think as Americans, by and large, we are very confused when it comes to love. Because we have music that confuses us, as well as movies and things. And maybe some of you have heard this song and goes like, "Does he love me? I want to know. How can I tell if he loves me so?" You ever heard that song? All right. So, you know, Cher goes on to talk about, you know, is it in his embrace? You know, is it how I feel when he puts his arms around me? No, that's just, you know, his arms, you know. And then she's like, it's in his kiss. And that's wrong too, because all that stuff is a different kind of love. So there's three different kinds of human love that the Greeks wrote about. There's eros, where we get the word erotic from. Eros actually really is a love of beauty. And you see something beautiful and it stirs your heart. And it doesn't have to be sexual, but it can be. So eros. And then there's philia, where we get the city of brotherly love from. Philia is a strong friendship or even a family type of love. And then there's agape love, which agape love is the love that never fails. Agape love is the love that is used in the Greek when Jesus says, "This I command you." He says, agape one another. Have this, and it's the highest expression of love. And agape love is really, when it boils down to, is this: it's the willingness to suffer for another person's ultimate good. All right? The willingness to suffer for another person's ultimate good. And so, you know, hanging out or being with somebody that you don't like could be a form of suffering, and it could be done for that person's good. And it doesn't mean you have to like it. So the good news is Jesus didn't say you have to like everyone. Yeah, we don't have to like everyone. But we do have to desire the good, the ultimate good, really the getting to heaven of everyone. And so love at its most difficult is the willingness to suffer or even die for the good of others. And if you don't believe that love and suffering, you know, are, you know, they go together. Well, that's the word passion. Passion of Christ is the suffering of Christ. When you love someone and you're separated from them, it's a form of suffering. But just look no further than the crucifix, that Jesus, because of his great love for us, he suffered on the cross for our ultimate good. I have a quote here. It's a beautiful quote from an early church father. This was written around 400 AD by St. Cyril of Alexandria. And he's writing about how Christ's love goes farther than any previous expressions of love. And what he's talking about is that Jesus says, I give you a new commandment. And so he's like, well, wait a minute. The Old Testament tells us that we're called to love one another. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's in the Old Testament. And so St. Cyril recognizes that there's something novel about what Jesus is saying, because he said this is new. And so I'm just going to read from you an excerpt of St. Cyril and how he sees Christ's love is different than previous expressions of love from in the Old Testament, for example, that love your neighbor as yourself. So Cyril writes, he plainly indicates the novelty involved in this commandment here and the extent to which the love he enjoins here surpasses the old idea of mutual love. By adding the words, even as I have loved you, you also should love one another. The law of Moses mandated the necessity of loving our brothers as ourselves. Yet our Lord Jesus Christ loved us far more than he loved himself. I'll repeat that. Our Lord Jesus, the Christ, loved us far more than he loved himself. Otherwise, he would have never descended to our humiliation from his original exaltation in the form of God and on equality with God the Father, nor would he have undergone for our sake the exceptional bitterness of his death in the flesh, nor have submitted to beatings from the Jews, to shame, to derision, and all his other sufferings, too numerous to mention. Being rich, he would never have become poor if he had not loved us far more than he loved himself. It was indeed something new for love to go as far as that. Christ commands us to love as he did, putting neither reputation, wealth, or anything else before the love of our brothers and sisters. If need be, we even need to be prepared to face death for our neighbor's salvation, as our Savior's blessed disciples did, as well as those who followed in their footsteps. To them, the salvation of others mattered more than their own lives, and they were ready to do anything or suffer anything to save souls that were perishing. That's an excerpt from St. Cyril of Alexandria. St. Paul, in one of his letters, he reminds us that if we have every other gift, but we lack love, then we're the poorest of souls. We are nothing but more than a noisy cymbal and a clanging gong. St. Paul says, love is everything because God is everything and God is love. The measure of our success isn't in our job. It's not in our house or how much money we amass. Rather, the measure of success is whether we have loved as God has commanded us to love. And so, at the end of our lives, we're going to be the only one there with God. There's nobody else going to be around for this. It's just going to be us and God. And it's not going to matter how much praise we have in the sight of men. What's going to matter is, does God see himself in you? Does he see his reflection in you? Does he see his love in you? I remember hearing the story about the refiner, the goldsmith who refines the gold. And we heard in the first reading that, love is perfected or through the suffering. And so when the goldsmith puts the gold in the fire and he's refining the gold, and you might say, well, how long you got to do that? How long you got to sit there with that thing in your hand? Well, the good thing is, if I'm suffering for God, at least I know I'm in God's hands. Because you don't want to spill even a drop of that precious gold, right? So if God is refining me and he's having me undergo through some suffering, at least I'll take consolation in knowing that I'm in God's hands. But if I say, okay, God, how long are you going to leave me in here? How long until I'm purified? Well, the blacksmith or the goldsmith will say, until I can see my reflection in the gold. And so we are called to manifest the love we see Christ have for us in our own lives by loving others more than we love ourselves. That's difficult. You know, Christianity is very difficult. I remember sometimes reading stories about people who have seen examples of Christians and said, well, I like Christ, I love Jesus, but not very many Christians act like him. You know, it's difficult to love others more than you love yourself. And so that's the challenge for us, really, is that we try. You know, I suppose we could say we're only human, right? And that's why we have confession. But we need to try. We need to strive little by little to, in little, St. Teresa of Lisieux, she said, it's in little things. It's in little acts of love, little by little. There's a beautiful poem that I saw from Mother Teresa. Now, I've read some things that say maybe she took it from here or there, and she may have added some of herself into it, but it's a beautiful thing on love. And so I picked this up from a quote from Mother Teresa. She says, "People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people may accuse you of selfish motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you may win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and transparency may make you vulnerable. Be honest and transparent anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People who really want help may attack you if you help them. Help them anyway. Give the world the best you have, and you may get hurt. Give the world your best anyway. Why? Because in the final analysis, all of this is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. We are called to love as Christ loves us. We were made for glory. When God created us, he created us in his image and his likeness. We were created for glory. The glory which comes from God and which lasts forever. That glory can only be obtained in the cross of Jesus Christ. And the price for that glory is the total offering of our lives for the one who loved us first and who died on the cross to save us from everlasting death and destruction. God offers us the free gift of faith, which enables us to believe in his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who frees us from slavery to sin so that we can live as his sons and daughters. The distinctive mark of the followers of Jesus is loving others more than themselves. A love not bound by fear, greed, or selfishness, but a love full of compassion, mercy, kindness, and goodness. Jesus goes on to, when he's speaking about this commandment of love, he goes on to say, I tell you this, that you may have joy, and that your joy may be complete. Now, I think our joy will only be totally complete when we're in heaven. But I think there's something beautiful in that statement. It's because if we were made for glory, if we were made in God's image and likeness, and God is love, then guess what? We are created to be love. And when we do what we are made for, what God created us for, it makes sense that it would bring us joy. But when we go against love, when we fight one another, when we become self-centered, it takes away from that joy. And so Jesus wants us to be outrageously happy in this life and in the next. And the way he tells us to do that is through love, in being what God originally created us to be. Today, when Jesus comes to renew his commitment to love us in this Holy Eucharist, as we recall his passion and death, let us ask him to renew in us the same commitment of love for others. Amen. Together, let us profess our faith. I believe in one